Hi, Chris.
Hi, Parath.
Happy New Year.
Hello, everybody.
Welcome, Vimal.
All
give everybody another couple of minutes to join. And then we'll get started. Okay, I see a number of people in the process of joining us, so we'll give everybody a minute or two, and then we'll get started.
Hi, this is Steve.
Hi, Steve. Welcome.
Thanks. Happy New Year to everyone.
Thank you to you as well. Okay, it looks like the joins have slowed. So why don't we get started on today's call? The priority is first any new projects. Who need architecture consensus before going to the TSC. And then second, we're going to do an update on the Tiger Team steps that we need to take in the Beijing release. So with that, we're gonna start off with Parath with the CHAP now renamed Music Project.
Hi, okay, just give me a moment.
Okay.
Can you guys see my screen?
Yes.
How's that? Okay. So, I mean, Chris has extensive background on this, but for the others on this call, to just kind of go back, last year around October, November, December, I came many times to the architecture committee and presented this proposal on CHAP called the Common High Availability Platform. And we were talking about how we provide a state management service and other things, mainly focused on multi-site fault tolerance and so on. And when we went to the TSC meeting in the developer conference in Santa Clara, OOM at that point had raised an issue that the use of the term high availability and some of the focus on high availability is seeming like an overlap with OOM, even though if you actually go through your document carefully, the differences are there. So I spoke to the OOM folks, and we just kind of rebranded the proposal, and now the focus is very purely on state management. So the project proposal that we are taking in front of the TAC is this multi-site state coordination service, which essentially ONAP components can use to manage their state across multiple geo locations. So let me just go through the each and every subheading, and then we can open it up for questions. Yeah, so I think if you look at I've done something and I just see my participants. I don't see my own screen. So if you look at the platform maturity, or what was previously called carrier grade requirements, the resiliency level 3, it is understood that you need redundancy across multiple sites. And that is a fundamental requirement to achieve finines of availability, given software infrastructure that only provides you with 3 nines. But in order to achieve multi-site redundancy, a crucial aspect is how do you manage state, right? Now, each ONAP component has its own notion of what is state it needs for it to function. And how do you manage the state across these geo-distributed sites in an efficient manner, in a fault-tolerant manner, in a highly available manner? And one of the reasons this becomes an interesting problem is that, and an important one is that, if you look at the current solutions for state management like MariaDB clustering, they work extremely well within a site, but across a site, fundamentally there are some issues because of the WAN latencies and the fact that a site can get completely partitioned from the other site. So if you look at a lot of these clustering solutions, they may not be as effective in such situations. The second thing is that ONAP components often have a diverse range of requirements in terms of state replication. Like, we have spoken to different ONAP component leads over here within AT&T, and some say that across sites we need synchronous replication, whereas some say that we don't really care about synchronous replication. We care as long as the data gets there, even if it's asynchronous, we don't mind. Now, this kind of diversity can be leveraged to provide much better performance than what is currently there. And the other important aspect is that you have the state across multiple sites, but now if one of the components fail and OOM helps us fail over to the other site, you need to ensure that wherever we have failed over has the most recent state, right? I mean, especially if it is required. Now, how do you ensure that happens? So these kind of state management issues are pretty complex, and currently a lot of the components are having to do this, handwrite this themselves with many different solutions across the board. So MUSIC tries to unify those things and provide a common platform to manage state. So if you look at the functionality, the way I'm presenting this is that you have MUSIC, which is at its basic core an eventually consistent data store. To be very precise, it's Cassandra, where you maintain state. But to access the keys in Cassandra, we also provide a companion locking service that is tightly tied to the eventual consistent store that provides you with stronger operations if you want. For example, if you want to consistently update state, you acquire a lock to a key and do it. I don't want to get too much into the details, but it is sufficient if you can remember that the core job of Music is to provide a eventually consistent state store that can be deployed very efficiently across sites and a strongly consistent locking service on top of it. But the interesting part is also that this combination, right, of a key value store combined with a locking service provides you with very fine-grained flexibility in terms of consistency, right? Now, for example, you know, all the key spaces that require strong consistency, you can acquire use locks for it. For others, you don't. So you can on demand decide where you want consistency, where you do not want consistency. Now, having said this, we also found that many components might have different ways in which they want to maintain their state. And we want to, if possible, at least hide some of the complexity of locks, right? Because for some people, it might be intimidating that you have to use locks. It might cause bugs if they don't release locks in the right way. So we provide a rich suite of recipes on top of Music. And if you look at the way Music is currently used within AT&T in production, it's basically through the use of the recipes. The most crucial recipe is the MDBC recipe. Now, if you look at a lot of the ONAP components, they maintain state in a database. It could be Postgres, it could be MySQL, MariaDB, it could be Oracle, whichever it is. Now, we are coming and saying, hey, maintain state in Music across sites, but components are doing, they want their own SQL database because of the power that SQL provides in terms of, you know, searching and managing and structuring data. While ideally we would like everybody to use Music directly, we want to provide a clean transition path in terms of the fact that they can use their own database if they want within a site. But across the sites, MDBC provides a recipe through which you can mirror state. So the way this works is that you have an ONAP component using its own database. Let's say you use some JDBC driver. All we ask you to do is throw out that JDBC driver, use the MDBC driver, just a one-line configuration change. And this will ensure that all the calls you make to your database will be intercepted by the MDBC daemon, and that will be copied over to Music, which of course will eventually reflect it across sites. Again, each of these recipes are their own separate presentation. The basic point here is that MDBC provides a way for SQL-based applications to use Music without changing code. That's the main takeaway. The next thing we have is PROM. So the other thing is that you need to understand how state should be managed across these different replicas, right? What I mean by that is sometimes components, and this especially came up with our discussions with the APSI folks, they said that we need a way in which state is divided across the different replicas based on certain policies. For example, let's say you have these three replicas, one of them fails, and now this replica was managing the state of certain applications. Now that needs to be distributed across the different replicas. Can we do policy-driven stuff on that? So PROM helps in doing that kind of policy-driven state distribution on failure and during initial part. The third, the last two recipes are a bit more, I would like to call it syntactic sugar in some ways on top of Music. Now, Music CAS is the compare and set primitive for people who are familiar with concurrent programming. The compare and set is a very well-known primitive there that allows you to perform atomic operations. Now, Music provides a compare and set recipe on top of the underlying Music store, through which you simply don't need to use the locks. You can simply say, do a compare and set on a certain key and it will do it for you atomically, and Music will internally manage the lock. Now, if you look at the ONAP HAS, the homing service, that is already an accepted project in ONAP, and it is actually in production in AT&T. ONAP HAS uses the Music CAS recipe, for example, to ensure that, so when they perform homing, they want to ensure that two different daemons performing homing don't take the same job and do it. So they use a compare and set to achieve that. Now, Music also provides a queue recipe on top of its base structure, wherein often I mean, if you look at a lot of the Cassandra documentation and all that, right, they will tell you that maintaining a queue in a geo-distributed fashion, a sharded geo-distributed fashion, is in many ways an anti-pattern. Because when you're trying to sort a queue, you need to ensure that that's done in an efficient manner. But if the data is all across the world, how do you do that? Now, Music provides a queue recipe by carefully controlling how the shards are partitioned across the different nodes and so on. So these are kind of the basic recipes on top of Music that people can use if on top of the direct use of Music. So now I come to the scope. Yeah, so Music is a state management service for ONAP components. I mean, ONAP components want to manage state across different sites, you use Music. That's it. I keep saying ONAP components because that kind of grounds the work, but it can work for any microservice in any distributed system that wants zero redundancy, frankly speaking. So since this has come up before, I want to make this very, very clear. Music is an optional solution for state management of ONAP components. We are not trying to mandate anything here. OM will continue to manage component level and platform level deployment, scalability, resiliency, self-healing, and high availability. I mean, this is text that is coming directly from OM. So that's clearly out of scope for us. We simply manage state. As far as the usage of Music is concerned, like I already said, Music's basic API is a REST API. And most of the recipes that you saw there export REST APIs, except for MDBC. That is implemented as a JDBC driver so that we can have seamless integration with these SQL-based components where you just take out your JDBC driver, throw in the Music one. So the architecture diagram is actually quite simple. I mean, you have Music deployed across sites and, you know, on each site you have some ONAP component local cluster, and they will, and as Music is deployed across sites, we'll also provide REST endpoints near those sites, and the ONAP components can access Music as a service through these REST endpoints. And a specific example of how, you know, for example, MSO could use it, right? So, excuse me. Yeah. Now, MSO uses a database, right? Internally here, it's MariaDB. Now, all you need to do is run MDBC. MSO will continue writing to its own database, but MDBC is going to intercept it and copy it across multiple sites. The current status, all Music and its recipes have been open sourced in GitHub. I've provided the link here. The OOF homing optimizer, the ONAP homing optimizer, uses Music for its state persistence. And as a messaging service. This is currently being run in production within AT&T, and in general, Music has been tested in production for over a year within AT&T right now. Architecture alignment, I've already specified, well, let me not go over that again, but Music is essentially a shared service. If you can see that red thing in the common services, it's a common service that people can optionally use for their state management. Clearly, since OM is responsible for the life cycle of ONAP components, it will also, you know, need to manage the deployment of Music when the time comes there. Dependencies, open source projects is pretty straightforward, Cassandra, Zookeeper, and JDBC. We already have quite a few resources coming forward to contribute to this project. As you can see here, we have committers and contributors. And in fact, some of the, I have put like Gil Hellman as a contributor only because he hasn't yet replied to my mail, but he actually wanted to sign up as a committer. So we have more than the required quorum of three plus companies. So that's about it. So if there are any questions, I can take them now.
Yeah, just one question. Two. This is Steve. Very good. I like the clarification and the differentiation between O&M. I think that's good. You refer to the Music and Music APIs in this. Is there a link to those?
Oh, I mean, the GitHub has that, has documentation. I mean, this Music link that you see. Okay, mm-hmm. You see my mouse scroll?
Mm-hmm.
Let me do this. Let me update this with a separate link on just the API. Okay.
Yeah. And then just one thing from a project point of view, a project yes. description point of view. So this is not an architectural question. This is something that will come up when it goes to CC. Stay there.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah. Where you say current status, okay. we need to think about how to represent that, because the project definition should last over more than one release, right?
Correct.
And then when you have current status, that's the current status today. And if I was to read this in 6 months' time, that would be out of date. And the definition should be still valid in 6 months' time. And the rest of it seems to be.
I see. Okay. Then maybe I can just say status as of, you know, Jan 2018.
What we have done actually in the past, I think, is put seed input.
Oh, I see.
That might be one way to do it, because that will always be true.
So what's the seed input? I'm just trying to understand. I mean, okay, yeah. To be honest with you, the main purpose of current status is to kind of say that, hey, this is for real and it's running in production. That's the main goal more than anything.
I understand. Yeah, and I think it's valid. Sorry, Chris.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, I agree with Steve's point that essentially what you're doing is bringing in seed code. So if you call this out as seed code that exists before the project, then it helps that everybody else understand essentially what's going on. So... So if you call it,
okay.
change it from current to, you know, seed code status, per Steve's suggestion, I think that would help long term.
Okay. And the seed code that goes down here, right? You have a link for that, right? Down, 1 second. Yeah. So maybe here, like I thought there is a seed, well, maybe I deleted it, but yeah, there was something for, seed code. Okay. I'll take care of that. And where can I put this fact that ONAP has is using it and so on? Can I just put it somewhere up in the project description or something?
I think you can keep it where it was, just change the heading.
Okay.
But let's also be clear, it's within the context of ONAP, it hasn't been used, but it has been used inside eComp.
Yes.
Right. Yes, that is true. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Hi, Bharat. This is Parviz.
Hi, Parviz.
Couple of questions.
Yes.
Hi. A couple of questions. Today, at the component level, we have the ODL-based state management, as you know, like for yes. RC and SDMC.
Yes.
At the component level.
Yes.
Now we have the OOM Kubernetes coming into this play for state management. And then on top of that, now we have the music.
So,
which is an optional service, which is correct. It's an optional service. Now, if you are going to really keep our upstream relationship between ONAP, SDMC, APSI, and other components with ODL, how would you keep the consistent state management, given that the components itself, they have their built-in state management mechanism, specifically for SDNC and APSI, we follow whatever sharding mechanism available from ODL. Now, internally, when you implemented this in AT&T, did you leverage the state management for SDNC and APSI based on the ODL sharding mechanism, or this is complementary to that?
Okay, so I'll answer the question, Parviz. But just you said one thing that I want to call out, just to be sure. You said OOM also does state management. I was under the impression, and I can see Roger here, OOM does not manage the state of the individual ONAP components, right? So I just want to make sure we are on the same page on that.
Yeah, this is Roger. So that is correct. OOM can manage the config data, but it doesn't manage the dynamic state. Each project team is responsible for doing that. So what Bharat is proposing is a mechanism for those project teams to do that. But it could be ODL or it could be CHAP. Like It's up to the project team.
Correct. Okay. Okay, now that we got that out of the way. So, Parvez, to answer your question about the ODL sharding, right? Now,
the way I
envision, so currently we are doing a POC with SDNC within a March-April timeline. The way we see that happening is that you use the ODL-based mechanisms for within a site. And across the sites, MDBC will take care of the sharding. So so to answer your question, it is complementary in that way. We are not asking them to throw away their ODL mechanisms. You use it to manage your cluster within the site. That's how we leverage the ODL mechanism. ODL is the king within the site. Across the sites, you have music to reflect the data.
So you continue to use the ACA and Raft and whatever is available in ODL. This doesn't really interfere with that the set of tools that are available in ODL for state management, correct?
It doesn't, but it still prescribes that don't use that across the sites. It says you use it within the sites. So the answer is yes and no to your question, right? Because I'm not, so for example, if you take an ODL cluster and put it across a site, we are not recommending that. We are saying don't do that, because using Raft, using the other mechanisms that ODL clustering does across sites may be expensive, you know. Now, we are saying use it within the site. Across the sites, we'll take care of it. So that's why I can't give you a crisp yes answer to what you said.
So I think we need to make sure that whatever we have for cross-site replication of state is going to work beyond just ODL, right? We have plenty of other components that will require some level of synchronization of state, be it strong with strong consistency or eventual. Yeah. And so we need to support that regardless of what the implementation is. We should not be making any assumptions about how a controller or something else might be implemented.
So Alex, this is Alex, right? So music does not, MDBC does not make any such assumptions. That is the reason why we try to support a wide variety of databases. Currently we support, you know, MySQL, Maria, and H2. We are working towards supporting Postgres. So you're completely correct. We don't want to make any assumptions. And the other point is that suppose you come up with a brand new database tomorrow, I don't know, something foo. It's very easy to extend the MDBC code to support that database. It's just writing one file of one file of minor code. So yeah, I agree with you. It tries to be completely independent of what's happening at the component.
So Bharat, okay. I'll make sure if Dan is not on the call. I don't know if he's on the call or not. For SDNC. The roadmap that Dan is driving for Beijing versus Casablanca. In Beijing, there is a plan that how to do state management for geo-redundant kind of environment.
Thanks.
Now for Casablanca, we definitely, when I heard from Dan, that we have to do multi-site state management and consistent way of doing the state management. Are you saying that this optional service now suddenly becomes a mandatory service for SDNC, or SDNC would rely on the ODL, Nitrogen, and beyond, whatever they have the sharding mechanism in place? What is the view on that?
So the word mandatory does not appear anywhere, and I think should not appear anywhere. So that's my first thing, that it is certainly not mandatory. Now, we are doing a POC with SDNC within AT&T, which should kind of take its course within the next 2-3 months. If at the end of the POC, SDNC believes that music is the right way to go, and I mean, we hope that's the case, then it will hopefully go with that. But that's the level of commitment right now. Do a POC with us, see how good it is as compared to what is there. If you like it, use it.
Okay, good. Thanks.
Great. Any final questions?
So if I may, this is Atul here. Just a couple of functional questions, really. In terms of the synchronization of states across sites,
yes.
Are the exceptions or race conditions, etc., handled by the way you implement it, or is it something that you need to specifically look at? So essentially, you know, if one site is trying to update the status from A to B, and if the other site is trying to do exactly the same, and if one does before that, or the fetching happens one after the other, what really, who is the master? Exactly how does that kind of exception or out of sync thing is handled in this implementation?
No. So, I mean, in any concurrent system like this, if two people are trying to do something together, one of them is going to win, the other is not, other is going to lose. But what music will guarantee is that this happens in an atomic manner, that you won't see a state where both of them think they have won. You know what I'm saying? That is the condition that music is responsible for preventing. And it does that through its, you know, implementation and algorithms and so on.
There are some databases out there that have custom code plugins that you can do to resolve conflicts. Say, for example, your databases have been broken apart, so they're on two different subnets, and then they rejoin, and then there's a conflict resolution that has to happen. So that is a problem in the industry, and I don't know that there's necessarily a general solution. Sometimes it's the oldest one loses, but that's not necessarily always correct.
So if you have distributed environments like the one we're building, strong consistency is going to be a problem, right? So this is actually one thing that we need to think about in the long run, is whether or not a strong consistency model across the board is the right, you know, or we should have an eventual consistency model with some level of locality that to facilitate a stronger way of consolidating data.
Yes. So, I mean,
just to finish my thought, right? Yeah. It's not so much about syncing a million different databases long distance. It's about picking a consistent way to do it. And just doing it in the way that actually gets the data, gets the job done right. Not everything has to be fully consistent all the time.
Absolutely. And I mean, so I completely agree, Alex. And that's kind of the philosophy behind music, right? That's the reason why we provide this flexibility. I mean, the default operation of music is eventual consistency. If and when you require strong consistency, you do the locking. That's one thing. The second, you mentioned briefly something about locality, you know. Now, if you look at PROM, right, that's kind of trying to do that. That's saying that, now, let's say you have a federated solution where a certain replica is completely responsible for certain state. Then you really don't need strong consistency in the sense that he's the only owner of the state. He's the boss. Nobody else, he can be guaranteed that nobody else is touching it. And he goes ahead and updates it. Now, only when he fails, you need some consistent mechanism to ensure that the other guy is up to date. So we have thought about that issue, but it needs more thought. I don't think it's mature enough in our mind yet. But yeah, it's certainly something that we are thinking about.
Okay.
Sorry, last one from me. In terms of the project, is this a separate project or is it kind of bundled with some of the existing projects? Sorry,
We are proposing this as a separate project.
Okay, but is there something that DCAE, for example, can't do? I mean, at a high level, it is also trying to do more or less similar stuff, right? So to get the details from all the... I would have assumed the analytics block would take all the data from... It could be proposed as an extension to that concept, isn't it?
I wouldn't think so, right? See, the analytics project is responsible for going through the data and trying to understand, you know, trying to do some analysis on it and find out some error conditions and so on. The job of music
is to replicate the data. First, it has to get that data. And I'm just thinking if it is all about getting the data and then running algorithms on top of it, it would anyways do something similar to what you're proposing to get that data, right? So it's essentially ongoing transactions.
Hey, Bharat, I guess Atul is talking about even you can have the controller federation for DCAE. You have an edge DCAE, you have a centralized DCAE. Atul, is that what you are referring to?
No. Generally, if you are running algorithms on top of a lot of collected data, you would have to collect the data as step one. So I would assume the data that the DCAE would collect from all the systems that it interacts with, it should contain one of the data elements as the states of the ongoing transactions, right?
No, that's different, actually.
DCAE can use music if it wants to. I mean, we are in fact in discussions with DCAE within AT&T. I mean, but that's like anybody else using music, right? DCAE needs to manage the state, whatever DCAE considers its own state.
No problem.
I was just making the point that DCAE's job is to collect the state and do some stuff on it. But
another topic comes to mind. So how about troubleshooting, especially since we're introducing additional layer? A couple of thoughts come to my mind. One is, what does it take to troubleshoot, right, a complex system like this? And second one is, if you're bringing a new database, would there be additional work involved besides onboarding on the troubleshooting front?
Yeah, so we would like to think that if anything, this will make the troubleshooting across different ONAP components relatively easier, right? Because hopefully in an ideal world, let's say most of them are using music, then all the data is going to be there in music. It'll make debugging problems across and managing cross-site resiliency, if it's all happening in music, that will make it easier from an ops point of view to manage the ONAP components, zero redundancy. So in that way, yeah, sorry.
Go ahead.
No, that's it. I mean, that's one thing. But in terms of troubleshooting this system itself, so I mean, the complexity of the system is not so much, actually. I mean, if you look at the fact that we are using two very, well-tested production tools in Cassandra and Zookeeper, and our shim code on top of it is barely like 1,000 lines. Like, so in our usage over the last 1 year in AT&T, right? Just the richness of our logging messages and so on have been more than enough to deal with most of the bugs. This has not been a system that has produced a lot of bugs. And that's not simply because, I've written terrific code. I simply think that it's because it is relatively less amount of code that is being used to stitch together these two components.
Another question for you. Can you go back up to the? Can you go down to the scope again?
Yes.
Thanks. One question: the other databases in the scope. I'm thinking from a project point of view. I'm a project. I like what you have, and I want to use music. I want to use music. Sorry. Do I bring in my own database and put this as a shim on top of it, or is the database part of this?
A database is certainly part of it, right? Because Cassandra is, after all, a database in its own right. I mean, I know it's a NoSQL database, but it is a database in its own right. But if the component is very adamant that it needs to use a SQL database, then you can use the MDBC shim to talk to music. One second, let me just scroll up. Yeah, this MDBC shim can be used if you are adamant that you want to use a SQL database.
Okay.
Hey, Bharat. This is Sean.
Sorry. Yeah, please.
Go ahead. Yeah, this is Shakir. Happy New Year, everyone. So I'm thinking out loud over here, right? So if one component, it seems to me that if one component decides to use music, then the only way that music can be effective is for all of the other components to use music as well.
I disagree with that, right? So let's understand what it means for music to be effective, right?
I'm sorry, I just want to interject. So first, we should stop thinking about components. We should start thinking about microservices in the long run. Microservices have private state. Some do. Some, most of them are going to be stateless. How we keep shared state in the system is something that we need to think through, right? It's not going to be easy to do it the way we do it today and continue to be successful.
Yeah. Hey, Alex, this is Shakir. So I think, I don't want to call them semantics, but you almost have to think in terms of components. Microservices, honestly, when you say you have to think about, we have to start thinking about in terms of microservices, I don't know what that means. But let me give you an example to put things into perspective. If SO is using music to save its state and the SDN controller is not, then if both components should fail, where would the SDN controller get its state information from? the state information that matches the state information that is in SO.
So we've talked about this a number of times, and I think it's important to clarify what the model might look like going forward, right? We've talked about this notion of shared state or this common information model reduced to some data lake or some database or some way of persisting information of interest to all different parties that are in play, be they microservice-based or not. Then there's a whole bunch of private state that individual components, microservices, whatever you want to call them, are going to keep. So the information you're talking about, you know, if there's something of interest to SO and DCAE, for example, or SO and another component, I would imagine it would be part of that common information model, that shared state that we need to persist across the board. So, I would imagine.
But who does that?
I would imagine.
But again, right?
Done independently of.
You're at such a high level, though, Alex, right? The information model is not going to do it for you, right?
The information model is not going to do it for me, but if I have a distributed, if I have an in-memory cache, and if I back that up with a persistence layer that knows how to persist the objects and, you know, inside the right databases, that's been done. There are polyglot persistence layers that are commercially available for the last 10 years.
But that's what Music is proposing, right?
Well, Music is not quite there yet, but, you know, to me, what we need is, you know, in the long run, is a data abstraction layer where what the components operate on are object representations, how they get persisted and where they get persisted and at what rate is something that they shouldn't, frankly, be concerned with.
But I think we have to walk before we run, right? We have to take an example, right?
But if you,
how can we? Go ahead.
But if we don't set the line of sight, then I think we'll never get there as well. I agree with you. We need to work through a typical example.
It has to be a very small use case where you have a service that's been instantiated.
Yes.
And you have the data in SO, the data in SDN controller, and the data in ANAI. Right? Very simple. How, if that site should fail over, how are the state data getting replicated to the backup site? So when you come up on the backup site, you have the same state as the previous state, right? That's the key for me, right? The key is, how do you make sure that you have consistency across all these components when you fail over?
Would you expect the AAI component to provide that sort of shared view of the world?
Well, ANAI would have to have a real-time data replication, right?
So one way that we could achieve this, though, one way we could achieve this is to go to a database as a service kind of architecture, right?
That's
where
basically
we start to consolidate this.
Yeah. So
we could, right?
To look at, but that would be a Casablanca or further release. You know, this is steps towards it. And I think what we've been asking, you know, with the high availability requirements is that each project come up with essentially their own solution to make sure that their state is replicated for geo resiliency. And I think this would be a mechanism that some projects could use if other projects had other choices. You know, we may see that as well.
I think there needs to be some lines drawn in the sand, though, Chris, right? And I think this is what people were kind of saying. If we know that in the long run we want to have some database as a service or a data abstraction layer that has some level of distributed persistence, whichever way we choose to do it, N-way replication, eventual consistency, gossiping things across, whatever, right? Then having individual projects go off and spend significant resources doing something on their own now, that may or may not really work towards that model, that's kind of wasteful.
But Alex, that's the hope that Music is trying to do, right? I mean, we are not saying, like you said, we aren't there yet, but that's the goal here. By supporting different kinds of databases within and by providing essentially an abstraction layer, like you said, MDBC in some ways is like that layer, right? Which says that, you know, you can kind of, you can write SQL code, you can write SQL code, which is what Cassandra uses, and still music will support all of those calls. Mm-hmm. So music is trying to be that, but you know, it's still baby steps. Like, so currently our goal is that at least start having one or two individual components use music. For example, ONAP is directly using music. Tomorrow, let's say we have a good SDN CPOC and that works out well. Mm-hmm. Once we demonstrate it with one or two tools, we are hoping that after that we can say, hey, if it's so good and so easy, then why can't this be the common state or data service across components? But yes, we are in that.
I want to go back to what was said before, right? Because if we're going to be using AI as that sort of common currency or a common layer of storing data, then the problem might be simpler, right? You know, we may just say, look, if you want to replicate state, make sure it's in the AI and focus our energies on making sure that the data replicated in the AI database stored in the AI database is sufficiently replicated across distributed sites, or well replicated with no issues with consistency and so on.
But that's a huge effort. Trying to change all of the components at once to this new architecture would be huge.
It would be, but you know, why, if we know where we're going eventually, we can identify a few critical ones and go after them in release two, and then kind of work our way incrementally towards that model instead of saying, you know what, we're going to go off on a slight tangent here. And then
I don't think we have to be careful, right? I don't think we're going to have one solution that AI and AI can provide across the board. We brought up before, right? ODL might have its own solution that's part of the open source community that comes out in, you know, some future release, right? So yeah. Insisting that we change everything now to a target that we're not even sure what it's going to be, I think it's potentially wasteful to do that.
Just a question, Alex, do you see this as a divergence? Because I could also imagine that I agree with going for a data-led sort of approach over time. And then the question I have a little bit is that could this be a stepping stone towards that, where it starts to set not necessarily a common data layer with a common data lake, but a point where some of our, call them components, call them microservices, call them a group of microservices, start to use to access the data and share the state, and then would be an evolution from there. In which case, you could also see that AI could actually also use this as well.
And we are in discussions with ANAI as well to, you know, talk to them.
The fundamental question is who is on top, right? And if we believe that, you know, AI then over time becomes a layer on top of this data store, this distributed mechanism for replicating data, then fine. Then let's say it.
But the original ultimately,
Stephen, I think it ultimately depends on what you see ONAP, what you want it to be when it grows up, right? You know, there's a way of looking at it and saying it's an integrated platform, carrier grade, specifically designed to handle, you know, any number of use cases for a certain level of scale and so on. Or you could say it's just an integration of a bunch of parts from other projects. If you say the latter, then it's a much looser environment, then we don't really worry too much, right? You know, each component or each, you know, subsystem comes with its own set of everything, and all we need to do is, you know, slap it together with duct tape and bubble gum, and we're done.
I don't think that's what was. If we go back to what Brath is proposing, he's proposing an architecture that would try to unify this over time, yep. which I think is aligning the goal, right? This would be the direction going forward. Now, if you want to propose, Alex, that ANAI should be that, then, you know, that's fine. That's an alternative. But that doesn't really take away from the end goal of having a consistent way.
I'm okay with picking a direction and moving towards it, right? And making sure that we don't waste the resources in the process. Or alternatively, if we say that, you know, each component, quote unquote, is on its own, has to provide and demonstrate its own set of RAS capabilities and whatnot, or S3P, or whatever you want to call them, that's another way of looking at things. But then it really means that, you know, from an ONAP perspective, we're just gluing, you know, all these things together and providing some shared state across them and some single pane of glass for management. Building an integrated platform is a little more complicated than just saying, you know what, everybody comes to the table with 20 ways of doing this.
But I don't think that's fair, right? The OOM project, for example, we're trying to provide that unified method to manage and configure and run and operate all of ONAP. So the direction's there, but we have to be realistic, right? Mm-hmm. It's an open source project. We can't force all the teams to adopt brand new architecture tomorrow. This won't do it.
Okay, guys. Let me understand. Okay, Bharat, you said that for SDNC and equally for APSI, this complements the work that is currently going on sharding management in ODL. Correct? It doesn't overlap with that. Okay,
that is correct.
Good. Now for SO, maybe you should we should change MSO to SO. So SO, I don't know what state you are trying to manage. The state management for SDNC is a much bigger problem to tackle than state management for SO.
That's true. In SO, there's many BPMN flows, and they all have states, and they're all dynamic, and they all need to be restartable at some point.
That's what I was going to say. So that is the state we store. We basically store Komunda state.
Okay, sure. Now, for VFC, we need to see, back to your Shaker's question. You're saying that you can enable this service selectively. You don't have to really worry about doing it for all or none, correct? You can be
that
selective.
So to clarify on that answer, right? So what I'm saying is that, like Steve was mentioning, I think music in the future, we would like to see it as a unifying data management solution across components. But currently in its proposed form, I am simply happy with people thinking of it as a new cool database that they can use. So the fact that you're using MariaDB, and so if you use music and the other person is using MariaDB, you will get better performance out of music. And so the fact that the other component is still using MariaDB does not negate the performance benefits of this person who's using music, right? So currently in the current humble state, it's just a cool, new, efficient database. I'm happy with looking at it that way. Does that make sense?
Bharat, do you have a matrix? Because the service that music offers should be equally consumed by, hopefully, by all components, all ONAP components, correct? Do you have a matrix, or you plan to have a matrix for that?
I'm sorry, what should be in this matrix?
In the matrix that, okay, if you turn on, if you enable music, then you probably can claim that VFC can benefit from that. Even though SDNC and APSI, they have the sharding mechanism borrowed from ODL, I don't know how VFC can do that. How about DCAE? I guess someone mentioned, I guess Atul mentioned DCAE. You have the DCAE federation at some point in the future. You have the edge DCAE and the central DCAE. And then Alex mentioned the ANAI. Even for ANAI, you can have federation. So you have thought about that, yeah?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, because that's kind of the notion of PROM. But again, Parvez, the one reason I would not want to put that in this particular project proposal is, again, we are simply proposing this as an optional solution for every component, right? So to provide a matrix wherein how its usage across different components will affect other components might be a bit premature right now. I mean, I think we need to spend the time over the next 4 or 5 months talking to different components, nailing these concepts down, and maybe in the future provide this matrix. I don't think we are ready enough to concretely provide this matrix across different components right now.
But at least one thing I thought would be immediately doable is more of a current usage matrix. Right? So for example, which database S was using or other component is using, and then whether that is already supported in music, right? At least that much.
Yeah, that would really help, Ramki. That would really help.
Yeah, so sort of then
So it sounds like there are only a couple to start with.
Yes.
And then it would be growing this over time, but getting the functionality essentially defined in the system so that we can grow it in future releases if we think this is the right approach.
That's a fair point. So I'll modify the scope to say that we currently support Cassandra, MariaDB, MySQL, and H2. That's all we support right now. I'll mention that in the scope. And I'll also mention how it's relatively easy to add support for a new database. Yeah.
And perhaps which projects would benefit from it also be very helpful. Hey, which are using these databases, right? If we can have some sort of mapping.
I don't think that actually should be in the scope, because the scope, as I said, should be valid, and that's just over multiple projects.
I meant more informative, not scope, not in the scope, but more of informative.
Okay.
Informational piece, not in the scope.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, I'll find some place to put it. That's a fair. I can certainly. You mean what you're saying is currently, like, I have an example here of MSO. You're saying just mention that how, like, MSO, perhaps SDNC, APSI, etc. can use it.
Exactly, exactly. And that kind of drives people that, hey, here's where you are, music is. I mean, these are the databases integrated, and this is how it maps to some of the OneApp components, right? Spot on,
okay.
Right?
Okay.
And by the way, just one thing, you mentioned MSO here. That name's been deprecated. It's SO in the architecture now.
Yes. I'll take care of that. I'll take care of that too. Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So just to check in, how is everybody feeling about this as a proposal, as, you know, baby steps, getting it in? If Bharath makes the changes that are recommended, do we kind of have a green light to proceed, or are there additional things that we need to talk about? Because we have to get this resolved one way or the other by the 18th.
No. Sorry, Chris. By the 8th of Jan. I'm supposed to go in front of the TSC on Jan 8th.
Okay, by the 8th. So anything beyond what we've already talked about we need to bring forward at this time? Or do we, if he makes the updates that we've talked about, do we have the green light to proceed?
Yeah, this is Jason. Bharath, I'd just like to understand the separation of responsibilities if this rolls out. So, you know, if a team wants to take advantage of music, what does the music team provide? What is the responsibility of the project team as far as, defining data models and all that within the projects, standing up the Cassandra instances, all of that? Can you kind of specify that?
So you're trying to understand what should. So ideally, music will be run as a separate service, right? So the music team should be managing this service, and OOM will manage its life cycle, because it's, after all, another OOM, component in ONAP. And the project team in itself has to decide how it wants to manage its state. So like you said, it has to manage its data model. It has to understand how it wants to manipulate that state through the recipes. You know, like, do you want to use it as a queue? Do you want to use it through MDBC? Do you want to use atomic set? So that's kind of the interaction here. So ideally, project team should not have to stand up Cassandra and other things. It should be managed as a separate service that different project teams can use, which is kind of how we are doing it here within AT&T right now, or at least trying to do
that. And so that makes sense. I think we'll just need to clarify to the project teams, what is the process then for them to adopt music? What's their responsibility for the pieces that they have to do? And then, of course, on the music side, making sure that you have, sufficiently sized, the bringing that project team on board.
Got it. So shall I just add this as a new small section to the proposal, Jason?
That'd be helpful. But this may be something you want to reserve for the project plans because it's going to change over time. But be prepared with this when you go to the TSC.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Sure.
In terms of next steps, as Jill asked here, we presented this project proposal back in December while we were in Santa Clara, and TSC said that it has to be reviewed again. Do we feel we are ready for coming back to the TSC this Thursday so we can get approval?
This Thursday, do they even have a slot? I thought it was Jan 8th, right?
Well, on Thursday, we do have the regular TSC meeting. And if everyone in this team is agreed, I would like to propose that we go back to the TSC to get this project as approved. And then you can still work toward the next milestones, and I can help you out on that.
I mean, I can make the changes that that people have asked here, you know, within the next couple of hours. So I would, I mean, sooner the better. So I would be ready if the team, architecture committee believes that we are ready.
Chris, other, do you have any thought on that?
Yeah, the main thing, that's what I was trying to check in with. So what I'm hearing from the rest of the team is that if the changes that we discussed are made, then we're good to go to the next level, which is for TSC approval. And then we can continue to refine this you know, as we go longer term. Is that right? Okay, let's consider that then. I hear if the changes are made, then the architecture subcommittee is supportive of the project proposal for the TSC review as soon as you can get it scheduled.
So this is on Thursday, 10 o'clock Eastern time, right? Should I just send a mail to the TSC saying that I would like to submit this project proposal on Thursday?
There's an agenda link on the wiki, and then work with Kenny just to make sure that it gets scheduled.
Yeah,
okay. I can work. I'll speak to Kenny.
Yeah,
hey, Chris and Gilda, just procedurally, right? There were several projects that were kind of sent back from the TSC review in the face-to-face meeting.
Yep.
Yes.
Mostly to think through, some to kind of go back and you know propose something, you know, like we're discussing here. Others, like, were just basically sent to think through the execution strategy, not so much the function itself. Are we going to have a special meeting to review all those projects that we sent back, and do they all require a round of architecture discussions?
Well, the committee reviewed three just before Christmas, they all needed additional work. So as soon as they're ready, we'll schedule them on the architecture call again and go through that next level of detail.
Okay, so for the container work in particular, do we need to schedule another discussion here, or do we just come back and say, this is how we're going to implement it? The concerns there were more around, is it a separate project or a sub-project?
Yeah, when you're ready on that, let's schedule it you know, as early as next week. We'll get it on the agenda and you know, do the review as expeditiously as we can.
And we have to go through the ARC review again, right?
I believe that's what the TSC had asked for, so yes.
Okay. And then we're working towards the 18th deadline or the 8th deadline?
So there are two. The 8th was to put the project plans for Beijing up on the wiki so all the projects could look at the dependencies. The 18th is the hard deadline for M1. So everything has to be approved by the 18th. Assuming that you're going to do your full approval, you get a draft of your project plan online by Monday.
Got it. Thank you.
Yep. Okay. Anything else on this topic?
Not on this topic, but I'd like to bring about that several PTLs, including, are on vacation this week. People are not back, right? Even I would say, I mean, submitting on January 8th looks a little bit unrealistic. you know, at least for several projects from what I've seen. I mean, we need to extend the deadline.
Well, let's take that offline. That's not imposed by the architecture team. That's imposed by the TSC. So I'll defer that to the TSC meeting. And on Thursday, if we need to extend it, we can talk about it there. I do have one other topic for today's meeting, if we don't have anything else on this. And that's the Tiger team. So I'd like to turn it over to Parviz.
Yeah, okay. All right. Let me share my screen. First, I need to bring up. Okay, you see my screen, Chris?
I'm having Zoom problems, but I'll leave that to other people if you can see it.
Yeah, we can see your screen.
We see it.
Okay. So we had our last call right before Christmas. So I already sent the a request for comments and contribution. I'm hearing a lot of noise, background noise. Could you mute, please? Okay, thank you. I guess it's an echo. I don't know. It's from my side. Could you mute, please? Yeah, we had this call. And then there was a couple of points that came up. One of the key points is if you are going to put the functional details for individual components, for example, on this page, there was a question on whether we should add the CCSDK. John from AT&T, he added the CCSDK, as you can see on the on this picture on the right, below the ONAP operational manager. So that is on the functional architecture. Then there is no mention of CCSDK in the project mapping, okay? So that was one change that Chris, we agreed that we include in the final target architecture. There was a discussion on if we want to split the catalog into the design time and runtime. There was a consensus on if we are going to bring the runtime catalog and reflect that in the architecture diagram, as you can see here. In my update, I didn't really include that. So this is a question for ZTE. I guess it's Harbing or Martin. Please make sure that you get the buy-in from the relevant projects to make sure that your proposal is that passes the ARC review. Chris, I don't know if you have a plan to review the real-time catalog anytime soon, because we need input from ARC to implement the changes and update the architecture diagram to reflect the real-time catalog project. That project is not in yet. Okay?
As soon as they come back, you ran the call right before Christmas, and my understanding is that there are a few updates. So as soon as they come back with those updates, we can review it again.
Okay. Again, there is also the image manager proposal. The image manager, of course, there is a lot of discussion. Even there was some discussion at the SDC. What I'm hearing that the SDC did not agree to take that as a sub-project. I don't know if that's correct or not. But at the Tiger team discussion, people felt that the notion of having the image management system to really operate in both domains, the design time and runtime, there was a lot of question on how would you use a centralized architecture in a very distributed implementation paradigm. So the use of the image management system based on the proposal, the image manager proposal, is really facing some challenges. I remember from the last call that the people are saying that if the image manager is simple, is logically centralized, then how would you really use a distributed way of implementing that using the current architecture? So that proposal awaiting the ARC subcommittee approval. Chris, do you have any final say on that, or we need to continue the discussion in the Tiger team, or we should wait for the ARC approval?
Yeah, it's we're waiting for the team to come back to the ARC with the answers to the questions that were raised before the holidays.
Okay, so that was one of the items that came up. And then with regard to updating the VFC, so the VFC is not shown, as you can see in this picture. And we agreed that we have a generic NF controller, but we didn't have really any view on how to implement the VFC functionality in the R2 timeframe. So I'm having a separate call with the VFC and SO PTL to make sure that we do not get into any long debate on how to capture NFVO and the VFC generic VNF manager in the architecture proposal. Steve already sent this picture. You see the picture here. I already included that, but I still have some open issues that if you want to include the NFVO in that top box. Steve, I guess I already sent you an email, so we can take that in our Wednesday call, the Tiger team call, to sure. See if the long-term architecture, I don't see any issue with showing the NFVO as part of the orchestration layer. However, for R2 with project mapping, we have to be very careful because we are going to go through that endless debate that if NFVO and generic VNF manager, they are indeed implemented as a single project, or we are going to split that. That issue
It's a secondary question. And I'm sorry, I haven't answered your emails. I'm basically just online today since Christmas.
So,
I owe an update of this where I should remove the cells 002 based upon our last meeting agreements in the last meeting as well. So I have to get that to you.
Yeah. I already mentioned that email that I sent. So, Chris, for the ARC subcommittee, we have this picture here. I guess we have some consensus from the team that for the target architecture, we can use this as a reference. However, Susanna from Vodafone had some comments that the VNF package, we have to clarify that, what VNF package we are talking about. So, Steve, that's another item that you didn't really reflect in your update, okay? She had some comment about how we are going to really reference that VNF package. Is that based on the SD published specification? Or the specification are work in progress in XP. That is one open issue. Okay.
Say that again. The specification published where?
ETSC.
Okay. We were working. I believe that's what we've been doing, right, across the board.
Yeah, but Susanna wants to have a reference that is not really a moving target. For example, Seoul 001, 004, and I guess even 003 those are stable, but 0.005 is a moving target. Is that correct, Steve? So those are set of publications.
Okay, why don't we defer
I can chat with Susanna.
But why don't we defer that to the Tiger team? Since we have some action for this team in the very near future, what about steps towards the Beijing release?
Yeah, the Beijing release, we already agreed that there are a set of small PTL meetings this week because the holidays didn't allow any follow-up meeting after the last Tiger team call.
Mm-hmm.
That was in December 22nd.
Yep.
Okay. One more open issue. When we have the final say from the PTL, specifically on the VFC functionality and the alignment with the APC and the rest, we want to make sure that the scope of each project is clearly stated in terms of tech contribution. I already sent email to the Tiger team, Chris. There is a template that is contributed by Steve. It's a very nice template. So I asked the team members to bring their contribution. Of course, we have already a contribution on the table from Vimal. I'm not including that here. There is a small team, Vimal and a few others, they agreed that they review it offline and bring the final text as part of the functional description of individual components. And there are also some initial draft text drafted by Steve. I asked team members to bring their contribution for tomorrow's call. So we have a Tiger call tomorrow. In terms of developing the timeline, I guess that would be up to the individual projects, that's how they're going to capture the timeline. But in terms of feature, functionality, APIs, we have discussed the APIs, the options that we have in the Tiger team. Andy, Alex, and others, they agreed that to really bring a, we already have a stable contribution from Andy. But I wondered, Alex, Nigel, and someone else, I cannot recall. Those small teams are going to bring their final text contribution on top of the diagram that is already contributed. So we are going to have a stable contribution for the APIs. The APIs with regard to VFC and APC, those are already, as you can see, captured here. There are APIs that are going to impact some other components. So I already have talked to the PTL, and I'm going to follow on discussion this week. By Friday, hopefully, we have some first level of kind of step for the API that you can present it to the TSC next week. Chris, that is our agreement, yeah? For the next week TSC, you should have that documented.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris, I want to go back to something that we said before, because I think we're starting to get into dangerous waters here. The comment about the Sol 1, Sol 3, all that. We're having these discussions in parallel in the modeling space. And we're agreeing on what the VLA descriptors need to look like for Beijing. Why are we having separate discussions with different individuals outside of that committee? I mean, I'm just trying to converge this as opposed to have, 20 different opinions.
Yeah. Well, okay. So why don't we move past the Sol specs? I agree with you. That can be covered elsewhere, either in the Tiger team or the modeling group. And if it's being done in modeling, great. Let's do that. Let's focus here on what we need to do for Beijing and what recommendation we want to give to the PTLs for greater alignment as we go towards Beijing.
Okay. So there is one open issue on the TM forum and also the NERF APIs. they not really nicely fit into our ONAP R2 deliverable, and that is the API improvement for the SO and the NFPO interaction. Chris, that probably is going to be work in progress, because the area of improvement for that interface, we are having some discussion that the mechanism that how to improve the API for SO and NFPO interaction, there are different views on that. So I'm hoping that by this Friday we can close that. If not, then that would be the only open issue moving to the next week for your presentation to the TSC, okay?
Okay, so can we talk through perhaps some of the steps? You know, I've heard a couple of things on this call and the ones that we've had in the last quarter or so about approaches towards Beijing. You know, we've been talking about more microservices, and as we go towards the microservices approach, I'm hearing a need for you know, more common services, and we've been seeing some of the proposals come up in that direction, like the music one we just covered earlier, or the common parser, or the KV store. You know, are there other concrete steps along those lines, you know, that we want to be driving?
Okay. Let me give you some updates on the microservices. Mm-hmm. So, in the last R call, I guess in Tiger Team or R call, Manoj already brought in a contribution, which is a document that is at the ONAP level, overall for the ONAP project, not in the individual component level. So that is a reference. It was indeed presented to the Tiger Team, like an overview of that. I can show. Do you want me to show that? Do we have time?
Yes.
Chris, do we have
time? Yeah, okay. We have time.
Okay, so let me bring that. Okay. So last week there was a discussion on, I guess it was on, I guess it's here. Okay, this is the set of discussion topics for our last call. So the functional description for VMAL, I already mentioned that. VMAL and the team, if you are on the call, please work offline as we agreed last time. So they're going to bring a final text for the functional description based on the VMOS proposal. Manoj brought a contribution, which is a reference. Actually, they're mainly this one. There is a document that Manoj presented for reference purposes. So the microservices implication on the architecture is still work in progress. The microservices, there is a subgroup, yeah? Chris, for the ARC subcommittee, you have a microservices subgroup.
Yes.
We need to take the input from that document and extract the architecture APIs, the architecture elements, and map it into the ARC implementation. That, I'm not sure that that's going to happen by the Friday deadline, okay? I'm not sure if you need to present that next week to TSC, because the microservices subgroup, they have to finish their work, or at least we need to have a joint meeting with the microservices subgroup to make sure that we understand the impact of the microservices as a generic framework on different APIs, okay? There was this external API work that I mentioned. So I'm not sure if microservices and external API, they have any overlap. So if there is any overlap,
There is overlap. The problem is that the recommendations for moving towards more of a quote unquote microservice based architecture are contradictory to in fact to a lot of things that we're saying. People mute their phone. There seems to be a huge amount of echo.
Barath, is your speaker coming from you? Can you try to mute?
I'm sorry.
It's coming from me.
I don't know who it's coming from, but it's better now. The problem is that if we start laying down some rules or advice on how to make things more microservice centric, I think that may in fact be at odds with the directions coming from the TSC in terms of S3P. If we're going to start talking about things that are more microservice-centric, in fact, we will factor out a lot of common functions and data services and start making things much more stateless and much more, kind of self-managing, right? But the problem is that at the same time, we're telling everybody to go off and build their own HA framework and data replication layers. And so that's kind of at odds with the whole idea of having a cloud native platform. So it's not really clear to me how far we can go in release two, right?
Alex, that's not really true, right? OM is providing a whole set of capabilities for achieving those high availability goals across the project.
Say again?
OOM is providing a whole set of capabilities to achieve the high availability targets for Beijing that can be used across the whole project. So it's not letting every team go out and do their own thing, right? It's trying to provide capabilities that everyone
can. Okay, my bad. So things like data replication, things like, I guess my concern is that each team has been given its own set of performance targets or S3P targets that they're working towards. And again, we're doing this based on project basis, not based on functional basis. When you go to microservices, you go away from projects and you start thinking about functions and how to implement each function and how to share state between functions and things of that nature. Do you agree?
I think we have to look at baby steps. I think we need to look
That's the struggle, Chris, and that's, I guess, where I'm going to, right? The struggle is how do we introduce this in baby steps so that we don't have a huge disturbance in the forward.
Yeah. Well, let's look at the precursors. You know, what do we need to have a microservices infrastructure? You know, we need things like service discovery. We need things like the microservices management tools. And a lot of those are getting put in place. But
we already have them as part of the MSB project.
Yeah.
That's part of what we have. I think the fundamental piece of guidance is everybody to start using the MSB.
Mm-hmm.
But that in itself is something that might cause a certain level of instability in release two, because in essence we're asking people to adopt more standardized or normative interfaces for communication, which are not there today, right? We still have a lot of point-to-point interaction between chunks of code as opposed to going through the bus.
So, but I think that those, you know, are the types of baby steps that we need to be talking about, standardizing the interfaces, looking for common components that we can share. And it won't be everything, but if we can find a set to start with and then build out from there.
Okay, so if we're looking for more abstract set of recommendations, sure, right? But specifically for release two, I don't think we can do too much simply because there won't be enough time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Yeah, you know, Chris and Alex, let's be, as Chris says, let's take the very first step, a very firm step for R2. For R2, Chris, as I said, there are two sets of APIs, yeah? The API that has to do with this orchestration, federation, delegation. So we have actually a very stable contribution for that. And then a set of APIs that has to do with the lifecycle management and the, all the vertical stack that crosses the SRO, NFPO, and then the VNF manager going down to the VIM. So those set of APIs are pretty much stable unless we feel that we need to open some of those.
That has nothing to do with microservices.
No. I'm saying that we have something to implement for R2. If microservices is going to come in to distract that, we don't have time for that. We have to, in long run, we have to bring proposals that how we are going to really change the architecture and move the legacy monolithic architecture, migrate that into a microservices-based architecture. That's the long-term focus. The short-term focus for R2, we already identified the components, the APIs, and then the descriptive text that based on the template that Steve sent. That is our target. That is our target. We are not going to distract that process, okay? So, Chris, back to your point. For R2, my plan in the Tiger team is to make sure that we have a complete architecture deliverable, hopefully by this Friday, if not mid-next week. The implication of the microservices for R2, that is not going to happen for R2, maybe for R3 and beyond. For R2, Alex, if you have any specific recommendation that how microservices is going to come and change the R2 implementation plan, please speak up.
Well, so the simplest thing is to do what Wading has been asking people to do for the last, I don't know how many months, which is to start using the MSB, okay, the way it was meant to be used. A lot of the functionality we talked about, the mappings between the external APIs and the common information model and all the things we've discussed in terms of, you know, the communication style, I believe that we have a good starting point with the MSB project. So it's really about embracing and extending what's there, perhaps. Some of the other things we talked about, like model-driven integration, right? How do we bring in external controllers? How do we bring in, you know, how do we integrate, you know, together larger chunks of ONAP or subset it or substitute different implementations in? That's a bigger discussion, right? And maybe we formalize that a little bit later. But, sure. You know, again, we're trying to drive everything from that external interface perspective down into ONAP in the recursive way. So first starting point is to get people on the bus. Right, so that if we can assess the impact of that, and then take some of the critical components that require a lot of interaction between them, and put them on the bus, then I think we would be in good shape, and then we can start.
Yeah. Okay. So
to
so
me,
Chris,
it's not about starting with zero, right? It's about starting with something that we have and leveraging.
Okay, Chris. I understand what Alex is saying, but we are running a very tight schedule for R2. Okay, so it's fine. We can invite Hobbing to bring MSP proposal, and we can.
It's not a proposal.
We can,
it's an existing project.
I mean, the project, and then we take that at least and see what is the first level of implication and impact on the architecture. But that is not going to help R2. We need to evaluate the implementation aspects of that, how it's going to impact the individual projects in the R2 timeframe. That we have not done that yet. So we can, perhaps between tomorrow and the next call, we can give you an update on that. Okay, Chris?
I think that's something where you could ask the PTLs. If for example, the Tiger team recommendation is use the MSB, then the next step would be to reach out to the PTLs and say, how would this impact?
Absolutely.
So instead of doing the analysis all in the Tiger team, invite the project teams to contribute, what they're thinking about that.
Well, my action plan is, as Alex said, we invite the folks that they have done work on MSP, like Harbing and the team, I put it on the agenda for tomorrow. We have the Tiger team call. And then we take it from there, and we entertain that with the PTLs, as you said, okay?
One thing that will help along that line is OOM supports MSB natively, so when you're using OOM, it automatically registers your component to MSB, and as we move forward in Beijing, OOM will do that for all the components. So independent of the project teams doing anything, they're going to get a lot closer to being able to use MSB natively.
So registering things with the MSB, is this Michael speaking?
This is Roger.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. So that's great, right? The problem is that so registering everybody on the bus is a great starting point. It'll be wonderful if we could do that. Getting everybody to speak through a consistent set of interfaces, that's what the external API project is trying to drive top down, from ONAP being a box to a high order set of high order functions to smaller functions and so on. That's the idea that we're trying to bring in there. So combining what OOM does with that approach will probably get us, 70% of the way.
What about also documenting our APIs in Swagger so we've got a consistent format that may help streamline this?
So that comes together. That comes as part of the MSB work, right? And so, yes, we need to do that. But again, I think a lot of the APIs we have today are kind of sometimes have a tendency to be old school, kind of over-the-wire protocol kind of flavor APIs as opposed to object resource-centric APIs. Mm-hmm. So we say we're RESTful, but we're kind of REST-like in some cases. And so what I would be doing is, again, looking to make sure that the individual projects, if they expose any information model objects or any data model objects shared interest, that they start sedimenting those into the common information model. And if we can get there, then I think the next question is, how do we persist that shared state across distributed environments, right? And that's where the project that we're having today and the vStore and others will come in. So there's a progression here, but I'm glad to hear that from the OOM perspective, we're at least getting everybody connected to the bus.
We're also moving, like all of the components have moved to a dynamic addressing method. So we no longer are using raw IP addresses. So that'll help as well. Just move some of the burden off the project teams.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Chris.
So this is start to the list for sure.
So just one other comment. And again, I think there's a decision point here that needs to be made, right? If we're going to support a single mode of operation based on a particular set of architectural principles, then certain things will start falling out. So for example, the whole Etsy NFV Mano architecture is not cloud native, based on cloud native principles or microservice principles. And the interfaces they provide in different specifications for lifecycle management, other things, they don't lend themselves to a model like this. And so my question becomes then, which way do we go? We can't be schizophrenic. Either we say we're compliant with Sol, and then maybe we kiss some of this microservice centricity goodbye. Or we actually put a stake in the ground and say we want to be based on these microservice cloud native principles, in which case we kiss some of the specifications of Sol goodbye. And that's a serious decision we need to make. You cannot, you know, Mano, by the admission of the folks who were working on that specification a long time ago, will say today that it's out of date. And it's not meant to fully represent architecturally what ONAP is representing.
Okay, Alex.
There's a clarification required there, Alex. It's a functional architecture, not the implementation of it, and microservices comes into the implementation of it.
But it's not just a functional thing, Stephen. I just want to know which way we're going, right? Because I think there's a big impact either way. So let's agree on which way we're going, and then we can make some decisions about how to get there.
It's stepwise. Okay. Is what can we do? We have a very near-term deliverable in front of us, and we've got a release that will last 6 months, and then we'll pivot again. So we want to have a stake in the ground for the long-term direction, but we're not going to get there in one release, and we want to make sure that the priority for this next release is S3P or the platform maturity guidelines. So we don't want to break the existing projects, but we do want to start to align them with the long-term direction.
Okay, and let me just make a quick clarification. I presume that the OM project is also attempting to define a consistent administrative interface for all the things that get connected to the bus, so we can start them, stop them, shut them down, reboot them, do whatever we need to do with them, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so we're halfway there, right? We have a consistent normative operational interface being defined for the services, and we're connecting services to the bus. Next question is, why aren't we doing it based on the same models that potentially not doing it based on the same models that we would be applying to the workloads?
Okay, Alex. Hold on. Well, Alex, you identified a very key issue. Unfortunately, today, this is a fact of life in ONAP, that we have VFC already well integrated into the platform, and we have all the Mano components. Now, as Chris said, yes, you put that comment to the Tiger architecture list. Please send an email. So we park that comment, and based on the time that we have for R2, we try to resolve, at least we take some steps to resolve some of the high-level issues. And then in terms of a full implementation of that, then we need to evaluate that if we have the adequate resources in the R2 timeframe. If we do, so be it, it's good. If not, then we basically wait for beyond release 2. Okay, Alex, so please send email. This is a very, very interesting and very
key topic. I think this is an issue that ultimately will need to be decided on as part of the TSC work, right? Not the Tiger team. All the Tiger team can do is surface the issue, and I think we've surfaced it.
Right. I'd like you to talk about that on your call next week, this week. We need to bring it back to the architecture team and start to lock things down next week so that we can communicate this set of requirements or recommendations to the project teams. If we need to get their buy-in, if we need to get their analysis, let's start that process this week. Then we'll go back to the TSC by the M1 day, by the 18th, and say, this is what we're recommending. It's not totally final, but we're giving you the preview of essentially what we're putting together. And then if we have to make any updates, we have until the beginning of February to make those changes. That's the timeline in front of us.
Yeah, sure. Okay, Chris, there is a comment from Pam. This is very, very important. Could you ask Pam to elaborate on that?
Yeah.
The DMAP integration.
So like, for example, during control loop, when policy calls appc, that API is actually off a DMAP. And so we make a DMAP request to APC. And if we want to start using microservices and things like that, it might be, we talked with the MSB team once before about it, but it might be interesting to see if MSB could support, you know, DMAP topics and things like that, so you could know where to go to send messages and get messages back by DMAP if there are APIs for that situation.
In the scope for R2 or Pam, what do you think about that? Is that R2 scope or beyond R2?
I would think it'd have to be beyond R2 at this point. I mean, I don't think anybody
beyond
an MSB team could do that. I think they're still trying to figure out microservices themselves. So,
mm-hmm. Okay, so, all right. We add this to our list. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, this is something that we had talked about a lot internally with AT&T. Is that you know, the APIs like this, if we were going to switch all of them to DMAP and or REST or support both scenarios. So, but it does have implications. So when you start bringing in microservices and cross-site and things like that.
A very good point. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think this is an area where we could do a lot more work. I went through a lot of the R1 APIs. The documentation is in different formats, even in different document formats. And it makes comparing them and interfacing with them very difficult. And so, you know, even if we can get to a common format or a common tool like Swagger, it's going to make it easier to do those comparisons and to extend into the future.
So Swagger for documentation. Okay. So, Chris, the template that I sent to the Tiger list, that is the deliverable from Tiger team to Arc, and you use that for your TSC presentation.
Mm-hmm.
Are you saying that this has to be documented using Swagger? Is that a requirement or not?
It's separate. The projects have to come back to the TSC between M2 and M3,
I see.
And review the APIs. And I'm saying that the documents of the APIs from the project teams, we should encourage Swagger.
Okay.
I think we want to push this, or I want to propose this as something that we discuss with the TSC as a best practice, and we ask the project teams to use Swagger, or if you have a recommendation on a different tool, you know, put it on the table. We want to define more consistency across the APIs in the second release.
Okay, one more item. I don't know how much time we have, but we have a contribution from Vodafone on the SODO issue. I need to get clarification from the ARC subcommittee. Is this considered like a sub-proposal, or there's no proposal, it's just a feature at the Tiger level, the Tiger team discussion level? Can we take care of that, or we need to wait for a formal proposal submitted to TSC? Chris?
You know what? If you've got a discussion going, keep the discussion going, but bring it back to the TSC once you have some progress on that. Or excuse me, bring it back to the ARC once you have some progress on that, so we can discuss it collectively.
Okay. So I guess this is pretty much, we have the agreement from the team on the other issues. There is a list of 18 different, as you can see from this list. We went through this. We agreed to almost all of them, except a few that is waiting for the smaller team discussion. Now, please use the template. This is the it's at the ARC. No, it's not at the ARC level, at the Tiger team level. Please use the template and bring your comments and contribution for tomorrow's call. Chris, that's all it.
Okay, thank you. We've got about 12 minutes left. Anything else that people want to bring up? These were the agenda items for the calls that I have. Any other topics for the remaining 12 minutes?
Chris, this is Roger. I would request a slot next week
mm-hmm.
Where we can talk about configuration management with OOM.
Okay.
Roger, can you also present something around your consistent operational interface?
There's many topics in that, so we're trying to. Yeah, we're going to try to do a whole series of them.
Okay.
Okay. Great. I've noted that. Anything else before we break? Okay. Well, thank you, everybody. This was a good discussion. I will break the call early and give you back an extra 12 minutes in your day. Talk to you next week or through email.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks. Bye.